It's time once again for It's a Good Life. Please join us as Dr. Lewis Woodard teaches and preaches from the King James Bible. Our prayer for you is that this program will help lift you to higher ground with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Now, Dr. Woodard.
What a joy it is to be able to share the Word of God. And I'm so glad that you've joined me once again to look into the book of Romans. We're in chapter 13, and I'd like for us to look now at Romans chapter 13 and verse 12. It says there, "The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness, and let us put on the armor of light." Well, that verse says, "The night is far spent." Well, this means that the night has advanced, and it's gone. It's far gone. It's almost over. But it's not quite. The verse says the day is at hand. Well, I believe this is speaking of the day of the rapture. The Lord's coming is so near for the saved person, it's almost here. I believe this is what Paul is saying, and we are living in this dark world. It's time, it's nighttime, but the day will soon be here. As believers, we are looking for that day. We're looking for the day of Christ, and that day of Christ is when, of course, His return for us, the day of the rapture. Well, the Bible says, looking for that blessed hope, waiting expectantly for the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. We're to put on the armor of light, and we're to be clothed with that armor. We're to wait for that day. We're to be busy as we're waiting. And remember, in Romans chapter 12 and verse 1, it says that we're to present our bodies a living sacrifice. We're to present our bodies as a service, to be in the service of the Lord until He says, "Come up hither." Well, now in Romans chapter 13 and verse 13, the Bible says, "Let us walk honestly, as in the day, not in rioting and drunkenness, not in chambering and wantonness, not in strife and envying." Well, I call this party sins. Believers are to walk honestly, or in other words, decently. The same word is found in 1 Corinthians chapter 14 and verse 40. It says, "Let all things be done decently and in order." We're to do things that bring honor and glory to our Lord. We're to walk properly as the children of light. Well, this is even as though it's still night. We're not of the night, and we're to walk in a manner that is proper and decent for those who belong to the day. And as we read on, it talks about rioting. Well, it means revelry. This is excessive feasting, carousing, drinking, dancing. We're to watch out for those things. We're not to be drunk. Now, it talks about drunkenness, and this means being drunk physically or living our lives oblivious to what is going on around us or being drunk physically. Now, we're to stay awake, alert, and sober, filled with the Spirit, not drunk with wine, as Ephesians 5:18 says, and now I call that party sins in that verse. Well, the next is bedroom sins. Romans chapter 13 and verse 13 says, "Let us walk honestly as in the day, not in rioting and drunkenness, not in chambering and wantonness, not in strife and envying." Well, chambering, this refers to any sexual activity outside of marriage. Sexual immorality of any kind, heterosexual or homosexual, is an abomination to the Lord. Heterosexual, there means outside of marriage. Hebrews 13:4 says, "Marriage is honorable in all, and the bed undefiled. But whoremongers and adulterers God will judge." Well, notice the word wantonness. Well, this means having no sexual restraint, uncontrolled lust, lasciviousness. It means unbridled lust, debauchery, extreme indulgence in sensuality. And it could include orgies, wife swapping, and other sexual excesses. Galatians chapter 5 and verse 19 says, "Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness. And there are many other verses that we could look into. 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 3 and Mark chapter 7 verses 21 through 22 talk about this. Well, that was bedroom sins. Now let's look at satanic sins. In that verse 13, it talks about strife and envy. Strife means discord, contention, quarreling. In Galatians chapter 5, verse 20, it says idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance. And that has to do with that, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, and heresies. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 11 says, "For it hath been declared unto me of you, my brethren, by them which are of the house of Chloe, that there are contentions among you." This would be, of course, quarrelings among the people of God. This is not to be, and we see some of that today in our churches around the world. People they are contentious with each other. Well, that verse also talks about envying. And remember now, these are the satanic sins. The devil is the author of this, and of course, and envying is jealousy or wanting what another has or what another can do. The sins of strife and envying both have pride at their root, the very sin which resulted in the fall of Satan. 1 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 6 says, "Not a novice, lest being lifted up with pride, he fall into the condemnation of the devil." Well, of that same that caused the devil's fall, in other words, pride. 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 4 says, "He is proud, knowing nothing, but doting about questions and strifes of words, whereof cometh envy, strife, railings, evil surmisings." We're not to be like that. In Romans chapter 13 and verse 14, "But put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make not provision for the flesh, to fulfill the lusts thereof. Put on the Lord." Well, this has the idea to clothe oneself, to put on the character of Christ, so he can be seen, and this is to be our testimony. Let me remind you that everything we do in the Lord's service is to bring honor and glory to him. And in turn, this brings honor and glory to God the Father. In Galatians chapter 3 and verse 27, it says, "For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ." Well, this speaks of a believer's standing position. The passage in Romans chapter 13 and 14 is speaking of a believer's state. This is the testimony. This is how a Christian is to be clothed with the righteousness of Christ and to have the testimony of the Lord. It goes on to say also in that verse, "Make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lusts thereof." It means do not make arrangement or provision to fulfill the lust of the flesh. And that's pretty straightforward. Don't make provisions to sin. In 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 11, it says, "Dearly beloved, I beseech you as strangers and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts which war against the soul." Well, you might want to read later on 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 2 and Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 3 in connection with the verse that we've just read. Now we get into chapter 14 of the book of Romans, exploring the book of Romans. First, I believe in this chapter, the Lord wants us to learn how strong and weak brethren should deal with one another. And then also it has to do with things that are pleasing to God. We need to realize that there are strong and weak Christians. And the first thing we see here in verses 1 through 4 is how to treat each other as Christians. Well, it says in verse 1, "Him that is weak in the faith receive you, but not to doubtful disputations. For one believeth that he may eat all things, another who is weak eateth herbs. Let not him that eateth despise him that eateth not, and let not him that eateth not judge him that eateth, for God hath received him. Who art thou that judgest another man's servant? To his own master he standeth or falleth. Yea, he be holden up for God is able to make he shall be holding up to God, is able to make him stand. Well, the strong are to receive and not to despise the weak, according to Romans chapter 14 and verse 1. And the one who is weak is a believer because he is in the faith. He's weak, but he is still a believer. And there is no indication from the context that there is a moral problem involved here. We are to receive. We are not to receive the weak believer for the purpose of having a big dispute and quarrel, criticizing him, trying to prove from the scriptures that he is immature. We're not to argue simply to prove a point and disputations that could arise because the more mature believer is following the teachings as set forth in the gospel. In other words, as a mature Christian, we're not to try to brag about what we know and try to put the other Christian down simply because they are immature. Well, in 1 Timothy chapter 4, verses 4 and 5, it says, "For every creature of God is good, and nothing to be refused, if it be received with thanksgiving. For it is sanctified by the word of God and prayer." You see, babes in Christ are not to be criticized. They are to be helped along. They are to be nurtured. Disputations could arise because the weaker believer was following the teachings as set forth in Leviticus chapter 11. Remember, he's not only talking to Gentiles. This is Paul, not only talking to Gentiles. He's talking to Jews who have recently been saved, and they may still look at the Old Testament. They need to be led to a point of knowing that what they offered as sacrifices is not necessary because Jesus is the sacrifice that made the difference. He is the one who died for their sins. Well, the believer mentioned in chapter 14 and verse 2 of Romans, the believer mentioned there was evidently a Jew. He was still observing Jewish instructions about eating as set forth in Leviticus chapter 11. A stronger Christian is not to hold in contempt or despise the weaker Christian. We are to help that Christian along. Well, now notice in verse 5, one man esteemeth one day above another, another esteemeth every day alike. Let every man be fully persuaded in his own mind. Well, this is still carrying on the same thought here now. One man esteemeth one day above another. An example of that would be a Jewish believer who retains a high regard for certain days, such as Jewish holidays, feasts, and so forth. Well, even a non-Jewish Christian believer may have high regard for certain days, such as Sunday, but the Bible tells us that we're to esteem all days as unto the Lord to bring honor and glory to Him. And just because one person esteems one day above another, we're not to look down on that person, but we are to pray for that person, and we're to pray for each other that we become strong, not causing trouble, not causing a disputation, but realizing that every one of us is saved the same way. Well, the next time we'll pick up with Romans chapter 14 and verse 6, and may God bless you as you listen and as you study the Word of God. The Bible tells us that we become stronger in faith as we study the Word. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. That's not only meaning for an unsaved person to hear the Word to get saved. That's speaking of a saved person studying the Word of God. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. We grow stronger as we study God's Word.
You have been listening to It's a Good Life with Dr. Lewis Woodard. We trust you have been blessed. More biblical teaching about the Christian life can be found by visiting our websites, lrwm.org or itsagoodliferadio.com. We would love to hear from you today. Our email address is life@lrwm.org. This is Doug Anderson reminding you that it's a good life serving the Lord. May the Lord bless you richly is our prayer.